For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. And that's it. It's just us today. A special episode of the producers here on the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. So here's what's going on. Our producer, Joe Brazil, has other responsibilities today. We got a ton of stuff going on as a cluster. Make sure to check us out, Odyssey Sacramento. There's a lot going on outside of just ESPN 1320. So Joe is tending to some other responsibilities. James Hamm is down in Disneyland enjoying the happiest place on earth. So it's just me and Jesse. It's taking you to a Friday, taking up to noon this Friday. Then D'Lo and KC will take over. That's the show that Jesse, of course, is on. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
What's up, Kyle?
Hello.
By the way, we will have Doug Christie's press conference when he shows up. But it's kind of weird. I'm in, like, I guess your chair, D'Lo's chair. It's kind of weird being in the big studio right now.
And you're by yourself.
Yeah, it's like really weird.
Is this your first time doing a show from that seat?
I don't think so. I think you did it once. I think I did it once. And James was sitting in the other one or whatever, but...
So it's your first time solo.
It's kind of lonely in here.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a little strange. But I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate you rocking with me. And again, we're taking you up to noon till D'Lo and KC. Look, I got to tell you, as we get ready for the Doug Christie press conference, as soon as that starts, we'll have it for you. Facts. As soon as Doug Christie, and it looks like Scott Perry.
There's a second microphone. Yeah.
There's a second mic. I'm guessing it's Scott Perry.
Imagine if it was...
It's not going to be Vivek.
Imagine. He pulls up. You guys wanted to hear from me? I'm right here.
Ah!
No, it's not. It's going to be Scott Perry.
Yeah. No, it'll definitely be Scott. That'd be nuts. That would be insane. It'll be Scott Perry, though. Where was I going? Oh, hey, it turns out, by the way, that COVID still exists.
Oh, yeah. Shout out. You want to tell everyone why you're gone?
That's why. Yeah, I tested positive for the vid, dude, in 2025.
Grow up.
Yeah, man. I'm saying. No, I feel
100
times. Oh, here we go. Doug Christie, here's his press conference right now, live, courtesy of the Sacramento Kings.
Good morning, everyone. Do you miss me? Did you miss me? I'm back. But hey, in all seriousness, thank you so much for being here today with what is a very exciting day for Kings basketball. We're here to welcome our next head coach, Mr. Doug Christie. An exciting time again for the organization. You all know Doug very well, as I do, and he was a legendary player here with the Sacramento Kings. But before I bring Doug on, I want to share with you just why I believe so strongly that Doug Christie is the right person to lead this franchise moving forward. As I mentioned to you last week, I first met Doug as a player when he was with the Toronto Raptors. And at that moment, I saw a young man who was extremely professional, hardworking, dedicated to his craft. And then I was fortunate enough 8 years ago when I worked here for a short time in Sacramento to get to know Doug Christie, the man, learn more about his character, which I value deeply. And so from afar this past season, when I was sitting at home in Florida watching a lot of NBA basketball, I got a chance to observe Doug Christie take over as the head coach here, and quite frankly, which was a very difficult situation. He did so with class, poise. He had a tremendous presence on the court. I watched him connect with this group of players that led to some success on the court. That connectivity was very obvious to me. Doug, in doing so through this turbulent time, posted a winning record while also improving the team's offensive efficiency. But above and beyond all of that, Doug Christie embodies the values that I so deeply treasure and appreciate, and what we're going to build this organization on. And I mentioned them to you before: professionalism, toughness, discipline, a defensive mindset, and a selfless, team-oriented approach on the offensive end of the floor. I've given Doug my full support and will continue to do so and help him set the course and the vision for his long-term success and our long-term success. So with that being said, I'd like to present to all of you, the king is my honor to present to you, Doug Christie, the next head coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. First and foremost, thank you to Scott. I will say that I appreciate you all for being here today. You guys, a lot of you know me, and you know how I feel about this. I am humbled, honored, and grateful to be sitting beside Scott in this position right now. I want to thank my family. I want to thank King's leadership, Scott, our players, and an incredible fan base to trust me with this beautiful jewel, because that's how I envision it. You've heard me say it before, but we have unfinished business. And that's my mindset going into what we're approaching right now. This game will leave a hole in your heart. It will. It's difficult. It'll take something from you. And the odd thing about that is, it's the only thing that can fill that void. So with that, I accept the challenge, the opportunity, and I'm truly, truly grateful to be sitting here right now. Thank you. With that, we'll have questions.
Scott, I have a question for you. When you had your press conference about a week ago, you laid out those identity traits, some of them you just mentioned there, and those, many of those we'd heard from Doug before over the last handful of months that he was here. Over the week of consideration that you had for this position, did Doug just seem like he was a seamless fit for you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, what I mentioned to you last week, you know, I've sat down with everybody in this organization, from people that work in the kitchen to everybody in the front office. I took the time. I wanted to learn the stories of everybody in this building. Obviously, Doug was someone that I spent a lot of extra time with. And the more we talked, the more seamless it felt to me. It was just a natural fit, because we see the game in a lot of the same ways, even though I wasn't as good as player as Doug. But the values and the core and the intangibles of this game of basketball, we both have a deep appreciation for. And it was important for me, us, that whoever's sitting in that head coaching seat could carry that out the very best. And Doug obviously fit that bill, and that's why he's sitting here. And I have tremendous confidence in him being able to uplift, inspire all those around him so that we can have some sustainable success.
Scott, I just wanted to ask you.
That's Tony, right?
Tony.
I remember, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Based on, you know, your comments last week, you said, you know, you were filtering calls from other aspect, but I won't get into that. I just want to know, when did you come to the decision to decide that, you know, Doug was going to be your man? Because yes, he did have to operate as the leader, the interim leader, mm-hmm. you know, under some difficult situations, you know, this past season during those 51 games.
As I said, after our press conference, obviously I had some informal conversations with different people that I know. Look, you're looking at a grizzly veteran here in terms of the hiring process of coaches, and I pretty much know all of the coaches that are out here that may or may not have been available. But in talking with Doug, the more I talked to him, and the more that obviously his familiarity with this market and the market with him, and it's just, again, the core values that he expressed. And it's important that this relationship be a very strong relationship, that we can communicate freely, openly. And over the weekend, that really, you know, really felt natural and comfortable to me. Because, look, once we start the season, there are going to be highs and lows. I don't care how good a team you have or how bad a team you have. There's adversity that hits in this league. Mm-hmm. He showed me his integrity and character, how he dealt with integrity. I mean, dealt with difficulty this past season. So I'm comfortable with that when I saw how he did that. And I know my own self. So, you know, moving forward, you know, I have a saying, we'd always agree to disagree. I ended the press conference last week talking about diversity of thought, but with unity of purpose. Mm-hmm. We represent that as a whole, and that's going to be our guiding principle. And so I'm extremely confident that we're going to work very well together.
Hi, guys. Scott and Doug. Just wanted to ask if you guys have thought about what the roster might look like moving forward. I know it's kind of early, but what do you think the roster is going to look like this season?
You have any ideas?
No.
Of course, you know, that's obviously something that we're going to talk about each and every day. You know, for me, I'm learning everybody, like I told you last week. I've just been here a week longer than when I met with you last week, so haven't had an opportunity to really watch these guys work on the floor. Doug has had that opportunity. But like I mentioned, we're going to be very prudent and opportunistic in how we address this roster and try to improve this team moving forward.
Over here. This goes actually to both of you guys.
Okay.
Doug, you just recently said in the beginning there that you have unfinished business. And with that being said, what would you say the coming in is the objective, the goal, where exactly? I mean, obviously every team wants to win a championship. That's the ultimate goal. But as far as unfinished business and your vision for this team, and this can be to both of you guys, what is that?
Yeah, good, Scotty.
Oh, look. The vision for this team, obviously, we're both wired to win, obviously. But we're not going to skip steps either. So I think this year is really about establishing an identity. I talked a lot about that last week, and a foundation of what it means to be a Sacramento Kings basketball player. And that's really, for us in year one, is going to be our North Star or true evaluator of where we're at. Is what are we going to be? What are we going to reflect on this court? We have to start building that. So as we move through the season, when we play opponents or when you fans come, the media and the local Sacramento fan base comes to games, they know what they're going to get and what they're going to see in this team. So that identity has to start being established right away, and I'm confident Doug's going to be able to do that.
You know, to echo that, a lot of people talk about culture, and for me, habits build culture. Culture is a byproduct of habits, and we want to establish a very, very high level of those. But also the ability for our team to be a physical manifestation of this community. It's blue collar. It's hardworking. It's loyal. It's so loyal that it kept the team here. And we want players that are going to represent that. That they, when they come through the turnstiles and when they leave, they know that they've gotten every piece of what they thought heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears. They get it all. And that's what this community is about. And I think that that's what Scott is saying, to echo him, is what we want to be about.
Yeah. A question for both of you, but if I'll start with you real quick, Doug, just, you know, you look at what you went through taking over kind of mid-season. You talked about, you know, the airplane being in the air. As you look forward, just what has to be different for you, obviously having a staff, but what did you recognize maybe within the day in, day out grind of things that has to adapt or has to change in order for you to be successful here?
Well, I think the first thing is sitting right next to me right here. Like, Scott led, just comes in and leans on credibility. He leans on steadying things out, and just our conversations, like, that probably gives me the biggest sense of calm and knowing that going forward, the path will be, like he said, North Star. Like, we're headed toward the right direction. And for me, just personally, that's the biggest thing, is Scott and the direction that we go from here.
Yeah. And then, Scott, for you, just knowing what Doug not only...
You're listening to the Doug Christie introductory press conference here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
How much easier did that make your decision in the sense of maybe what the process looked like?
Definitely a confirmation for me, obviously, but... If I was somewhere else, though, to be quite frank with you, this man exhibits the qualities that I would want represented in my team. And I think that is the strongest endorsement that I can give of him. Yeah, he's special to this community, and that's not lost on me. But above and beyond everything else, it's the character of the man. It's the passion that he displays for the game. I can tell that he's going to be a coach that is always trying to find answers, learn more about his craft. Look, I'm a former coach, and I'm the first to tell him or anybody else, it's not an easy job. It's the most second-guessed job in the world, probably. Yeah. But he is made of the type of internal fortitude I believe necessary to navigate those waters, and I thought he got a quick baptism by fire this past season in doing so, and it showed me a lot.
Doug, you, of course, are very familiar with this fan base, this city, what this city is all about.
Yeah.
Asking you about Scott, how well do you think he fits and embodies, like, this city and this organization with what he wants to do and what he brings to this city?
That's an easy one. You could at least throw a curveball or a fastball at me. You know, simple, like, just talking to him, I think that you guys get the gist of what Scott is about. You can hear the professionalism, you can hear the drive and desire, but you can also hear cutting through all the bull. And that's one of the things that I truly appreciate about him, from talking to him, is I know that I'm going to get the honest. And that's one of the things that in our business you don't always get, and I appreciate that. So, we got the right guy.
Hey, guys, over here. Scott, I wanted to start
with... Can I get your name?
I'm Brandon Benitez. I'm with CBS 13.
Hey, Brandon, okay. Yes, all right. I didn't get a chance to meet you last week.
No, correct.
Okay, all right.
Yes, correct. Yes, I wanted to ask you just... it felt like a lot of the key players on this team spoke really highly of Doug, especially in their exit interviews. How much weight did that hold, knowing that you wanted a guy that is going to be able to lead them and help turn things around?
Well, obviously, it's important that you feel a connectivity from the players. As I mentioned last week, I talked to all of them. They have a great deal of respect for this man here. I know that's important in that position. Look, because those are the guys, ultimately, they have to be inspired by him. They got to inspire themselves first, but then secondly, they got to be inspired by him and trust in his abilities, his knowledge about the game, and put them in the very best positions to succeed. So I heard nothing but positive things from them. So, again, that is helpful, but not necessarily the sole decider in it. But I'm going to always take into account. If you learn more about me, I'm someone that takes, when I make a decision, it's 360 degrees. I listen to a lot of information. Again, I'm going to say it. You're probably going to get tired of hearing it. Diversity of thought, but with unity of purpose. That is our guiding principle, and that's how I made this decision, as I will make any other decisions regarding this organization.
And then, Doug, for you, a couple departures from the coaching staff, just when we're trying to fill in the pieces of what's going to make you successful now that it's a full-time gig, of course, what sticks out to you or traits perhaps that you're going to want for guys that are going to be on that bench with you?
A lot of the things that you've heard Scott and I speak upon, from a driving desire, a passion, the ability to think and deal with adversity at a high level. There has to be a calmness, and because our players are going to feel that, and we want them to go on the court and have a passion, have an aggressiveness, have a super aggressiveness, but at the same time be calm, and that comes from our coaching staff.
Doug, congratulations.
Thank you.
Just kind of following up on that, do you have any specific names for your staff that you've already picked out, or is that kind of going to be a work in progress?
Jay, why you always be asking those questions?
Exactly.
I know. He's always firing the questions. No, I mean, we're actively going to be pursuing all of that in the coming days. Like you heard Scott, he was 1 week, got another week, and we have to have the ability to sit down and communicate and talk, and we will be doing that going forward.
And then for you, Scott, with your conversations with the players, was there anything that stood out to you, anything that surprised you with the roster that you have here, or anything in particular?
No, nothing that surprised me. I mean, obviously, as I mentioned with Doug, going through a difficult season, that was expressed to me. But a resilient group of guys overall, and I think a lot of them obviously are looking to turn the page. They're excited about the direction we're going to be heading with this ball club, and I'm looking forward to working with them. What transpired in the past, that's over. Really, it's in the rearview mirror. It's a waste of time for any of us now to really think about. It's what do we do today, tomorrow, and the days after that are going to dictate just how well we do.
You just mentioned it to Doug. Now you have the opportunity to not necessarily start from scratch, but, you know, you have an off season, you know, to put together your system. Just, you know, want to know, you know, what's going to be, you know, one of the first few things that you will, you know, put in details.
I mean, more than anything, I need to decompress a little bit, to be honest with you, man. Take a breath, sit down and talk to Scott about a lot of different ideas and visions that I have. I know that he comes from he was a coach. He's been a general manager. He's been around this league for a long time. And I'm going to lean on that because I think that there is power in that. And the fact that he's willing to sit with me and have those conversations, that's where I'm going to start at.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Scotty.
You're the man, baby. Oh, applause. Wow. Scott Perry, absolutely. Doug Christie. A lot of Scott Perry in that press conference, maybe more than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was waiting for Doug to get in there.
He did, though. Here was my big takeaway, and it made me – so barring disaster, it's pretty hard to walk away from an introductory press conference – pessimistic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some classic examples of opening pressers not going well, but for the most part, as a GM or a new coach, it's pretty easy to win that. You know, say the right things, and that's an easy offseason victory to get. But the reason I'm optimistic beyond, oh, they say they're going to play hard. Oh, they say they're going to be about defense. Like, every coach, every GM says that, right? Like, no coach or GM comes out and goes, oh, our play style, we're going to try and score a ton of points, not really play defense. Nobody's going to play hard. You know, it's not that typically. So they say all the right things, but they sounded to me ready for this to take a couple of years. They didn't sound like a duo. They want to win this year, to be sure. They want to win all the time, and I think that's going to be the identity. But I don't think that they are looking at this year where if they make some moves this offseason, make some tweaks to the roster, maybe it's not all the tweaks they want to make, but they win 40 games again next year. I don't think it's looked at as some failure by them where all of a sudden they're hitting a panic button. I think they know as a duo – that there is going to be a process to this that isn't going to be fixed in one offseason.
Well, sure, because I don't see how you look at this team and be like, yeah, we just need one piece there, and it's all going to work. Like, we all feel DeMar DeRozan doesn't fit here, so you're going to move off of him. DeMontis Sabonis, that's obviously you're going to create some thoughts. I think you should probably move off of him. Yeah, we'll talk about him. I think that's one you probably think about moving off him as well. This team needs to take a couple steps back so we can progress finally.
That's it. You have to go.
I'm not concerned about this. Like, I don't want to see this team back in the play-in, printing in the play-in. Maybe they get to the playoffs one round, but it's just, all right, well, in 2 years, we're done.
You could sit here with this group of players because they're talented enough. You could sit here and make a couple of minor tweaks and be in the play-in / playoff conversation for the next 4 or 5 years. But I think both Doug and Scott Perry, and this is what makes me optimistic, I think they both understand that they're going to have to go backwards at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, being a play-in playoff team is just a one-way ticket to losing your job in 4 years, I feel.
It is. Because there's being a play-in and playoff team. Like, the Chicago Bulls have been a play-in team every year. The Atlanta Hawks have been a play-in / playoff team. It's like, you can get there. You can assemble the talent in the NBA to just be a team that's kind of around. And I think that this fan base, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that this fan base is beyond that. I think that we're past the, oh yeah, just be in the mix. That would be cool. Like, no, don't patronize people who are paying to go to games.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
They kind of talked about a lot during the press conference. Like, they want to see something sustainable now, finally.
Right. So yeah, they could piece it together and be in that play-in. Maybe they pushed for 5 or 6 seed this year. But if they want to build a sustainable winner that starts at, and maybe they get a little bit of a leg up because of where they're at with their roster build, maybe they don't have to become the Wizards for a couple of years, right? Maybe they don't need to do that full teardown and tank. But I do think they have to go backwards. They're going to have to clear out some pieces on this roster. And I think that's what this year is going to be about. This offseason, they'll make a couple of moves. And then this season, it's about finding the players that you're going to move forward with as part of a core, as part of the Doug Christie Kings, because that's what this has to be. If you're going to hire this coach based on how his defensive minded, and that's how he was as a player, and the team is going to embody who he was as a player, then you have to have the players that are going to embody those things.
You think we're looking at an offseason where, like, there's multiple guys getting moved, or maybe it's not just DeMar DeRozan? Because, like, they're not, more than likely, not going to have a draft pick unless some miracle happens.
That's a great question that we will hit when we come back, because I think there are a couple of big things, couple of big takeaways from that press conference for me that speak to that. Plus, we got to talk about this whole DeMontis Sabonis thing.
Yeah, we do.
Because this is becoming a very, very real problem, and it has nothing to do with what's happening on the court.
I feel like the answer is obvious to me.
You said what?
I feel like the answer is kind of obvious to me, too.
It feels that way. We'll talk about all that. Plus, NBA playoff action. A series ended last night. We're going to get a Game 7. We got another series that could end or go to a Game 7 tonight. Cannot wait to talk about that with you. Jesse Toppy in for James Sam. I'm Kyle Madsen. No Joe Brazil with us today, but we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
And 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Toppy is in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you till noon. I almost said responsive by Jiffy Lube, but the voice guy just said that. But we'll salute and shout out to Jiffy Lube. Anyway, we were talking about Doug Christie and Scott Perry. Doug Christie's intro presser, but it felt more like a Scott Perry press conference than a Doug Christie.
Doug came in there at the end and he cleaned up.
Yeah, but it's like you said when we were talking about it before the show, you were like, Doug's been around. Doug was the coach for 51 games.
we know Doug, yeah.
Yeah, we already know what it is. I have a question real quick, unrelated to anything, before we get back into the Doug Christie thing, because
I'm questions.
Is Kung Fu Fat still on campus at Sac State?
I have no clue. I just told you the story. I didn't even know there was a Togo's till like my third year.
I need to know, because that was the spot, dude. There was one at the little right by Mendocino Hall.
Shout out Mendocino Hall, the hottest building at Sac State.
They had the nastiest, greasiest chow mein of all time. And 18-year-old Kyle did not care.
Ate it up. It was all good, huh?
Kung Fu Fat's no longer on campus.
R.I.P.
Hate it for our guy. All right. Do not hate the Doug Christie hire for the Kings. We're talking about the team build and what this looks like for the Kings this year. And the reason I'm optimistic about the Kings moving forward is how much Scott Perry and Doug Christie made it sound very much like, okay, we're in the evaluation stage, not just in the offseason, but going into next year and trying to establish a culture and trying to establish a style of play. And the only way you can do that is by bringing in the right players who fit that style. And so I think, you know, you figure out what you can this offseason, and then next season has to be about, you want to win. You want to go to the playoffs for sure. But they have to be operating not under the idea that they have to make the playoffs next year. For me, they have to be operating like, okay, Keegan Murray. Is Keegan Murray a dude who's going to be part of this culture? Who's going to be part of it? Great. He is. Yes. Keon Ellis. Great. Yes. Malik Monk. Great. Yes. Like, and just going through, and as the season goes on, figuring out, okay, who's going to fit in whatever defensive scheme Doug wants to run, who's going to fit in whatever offensive scheme Doug wants to run. And you have to evaluate. And if that leads to 38 wins, okay, fine. Yeah, if it leads to 48 wins, great. Like, maybe you have a bunch of those guys on the roster already, but I think they are in lockstep in terms of figuring that out throughout this season.
Well, that's the thing too. You could run down that list and you got Keegan, Malik, Keon. Could also be, not a lot of these guys fit here anymore either. So, you need to move on and just kind of restart a bit where you do kind of maybe are winning 38 to 30, whatever.
And that's where...
Because that was my question, too, before the break, is kind of like, what is the plan here? If you're trying to bring in guys who fit the mold and accumulate assets, blah, 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 insert whatever keyword, like, are we just trading DeMar DeRozan and that's it? Like, are you just getting it all through there?
I think everything's on the table for them.
I think it should be too, but I feel like my whole point is like probably going to need more than a DeMar DeRozan move this offseason. Might need to look if the right move is there, I guess. I don't even know what the right move is, but like look at DeMontis Sabonis too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think all that's there, and we'll talk about the Domas thing. If you can move him and you've decided that he's not going to be part of your program, yeah, do it. But I also don't think you just start giving people away.
No, yeah, you're not giving them away.
Giving players away. Yeah, I don't think you're doing that either. I am of the mind that what you're evaluating Doug on this year is whether the team is establishing a certain play style, whether there's a certain identity that's forming. That's what this year has to be about, and figuring out what players fit that and what players don't. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about wins and losses with Doug next season. Like, obviously, you don't want to be one of the worst, but like Doug needs to be here for at least 3 years, I think. To at least put something in place and to see it through all that. Like, Doug should be just not even, oh, is Doug going to be back if they do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, Doug should be now the guy for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
At least.
You brought up Domantas Sabonis, and he now becomes the most fascinating piece of this offseason. Because if you did not see what Sam Amick said on some media outlet, I don't know. Sam Amick said on the other station that he did not, I don't want to say he reported it, but he strongly implied, and I think this was pretty well known when you started connecting dots, that Domantas Sabonis did not want Mike Brown to be the coach anymore.
Yeah, that's been long said for months here.
Right. So I think that for the most part, everybody knew that.
Yep.
And while everybody was blaming De'Aaron Fox, it's like, hey, man, there was actually one of their stars who actually didn't want Mike Brown there. Well, Sam Amick made it sound like and strongly implied that one of the complaints about Mike Brown was that they practiced too much. And then one of the complaints with Doug Christie was that they didn't practice enough and that Domantas Sabonis was dissatisfied in both instances. And I'm at a point, man, where I understand this is not about Domantas Sabonis on the court. Domantas Sabonis is a top 25 player in the league from a pure production standpoint. He's outstanding. But you don't get to perform the way you did in your last playoff appearance, first of all. And then in the play-in this year, you don't get to perform the way you did and then come out this offseason and talk about needing clarity. And all of a sudden you're dissatisfied with the Doug Christie hire because you didn't like how he was as the coach. Like, I'm sorry, who are you?
No, there's one thing. The guy doesn't touch the basketball in the last 5 minutes of the game or whatever, and we're calling shots. But also, like, it all just screams to me, all right, just time to move on then.
That's it.
Like it's just time to move on. Cool. Like, if you feel this way, we're doing this. If you don't like it, we'll look for something to move you.
And that's it, man. Like, maybe they don't get back in a Domantas Sabonis deal, and this may be what they're looking at with any player they trade. I'm not even going to start naming names. With any player they trade, this might just kind of be it. They're looking at building a culture that is built around defense, that is built around playing hard, that is built around all of these, whatever mantras Doug wants to throw out there. You already have this guy who is ostensibly your, best player? Second best player?
He's up there.
You have, let me put it this way. Let me forget the whole first, second, third best player or whatever. One of your two highest paid players and a guy that you're going to owe $50 million to in 3 years? He's already like, meh, on the fence? Like, bro, this is about buy-in. This season and this offseason is about buy-in from these players into, hey, Scott Perry has a vision for a team. Doug Christie, he has decided, is the guy to carry out that vision. Doug Christie's vision, we would assume, is the same. Do you fit that? Are you buying in or not? Because if you're not, goodbye.
We heard the word months ago was clarity. Domantas Sabonis was going to say clarity this offseason, and I don't know if they've talked or sounds like maybe someone they have feelings and they know about it or whatever. But if he's not, if he's not bought in, then it's just time to move. And Gilbert M in the chat says,
bro,
man,
I was
y'all
right about to grab that.
Like trading players when their values are low. I don't necessarily buy into Domantas Sabonis being this untradeable player at this point.
I don't, and I also look. It's not about trading them when their values are low. It's about rebuilding and figuring out who belongs in a Sacramento Kings uniform and who doesn't. This is not, hey, let's trade Domas because you can get a load of picks back for him. Like, no, that's not what this is at all. This is, hey, you know what? Domas is under contract for 3 more years, and he doesn't really jive with what we're trying to do.
At this point, maybe he doesn't fit.
Right, and having him on the court is going to be a detriment, maybe not in the immediate. Maybe they're better with him now, but it's going to be a detriment to establishing the culture and the play style that they want to establish. So, okay, maybe you're selling him off and maybe you're getting him for 60 cents on the dollar. That's not what you want to do. But sometimes, you know what? In this spot, the spot the Kings have backed themselves into, it's kind of what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, we're at a point now where we're restarting again. Like Doug Christie, Scott Perry, they're the new guys. And it's time to like just get guys who are willing to buy in. It's got to be step one now.
That's it. That's, you hit the nail on the head. It has to be step one. And that doesn't need to be they become the Wizards. It doesn't have to be that because you have Keon Ellis on the roster. You have Keegan Murray on the roster. Malik Monk, good player on your roster. Got him locked up for a couple more years. Maybe Isaac Jones turns into something. Like you have some pieces here. Zach LaVine is likely going to be part of your team. you have these pieces in place where you're not going to need to bottom out entirely in the standings. But from a from a semantic standpoint, you're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Forget, they're not going to recapture the magic of the 22-23 season by piecing together some guys around Domas and Keegan Murray. There's a new era here. The Mike Brown era is done. This is the Doug Christie era. It's going to look different. And to get there, there's going to be some player movement. Because it's very clear, based on what Sam Amick had to say on the other radio station, that Domas is not bought in. And if you're not bought in, whether you're Domantas Sabonis or whether you're freaking Mason Jones, you don't get to play here anymore.
Yeah, Adam.
That's the bottom line, man.
Adam Gross in the Chatty House. So trade the one guy that gives a damn every night. Awesome. I mean, to be clear, like, it's not Domantas Sabonis is not the only guy trying every night. But yeah, like, Domantas Sabonis, if he's not bought in, then yes, move on. Domantas Sabonis, I'm sorry, is not a player that the Kings at this point need to be like, I don't know what the right word is, but just kind of playing to or whatever. Like, kind of
catering.
Catering to, exactly, yeah. Like, at this point, Domas, this is what we're doing. If you like it, great, let's go. If you don't, then we will try to find something.
If Domantas Sabonis is unhappy with the Doug Christie hire and he's going to Vivek or he's going to Scott Perry or he's going to his agent who's then going to Vivek or Scott Perry, if he's going to be a problem off the court, I don't care that he tries when he's on the court. Especially when he's putting up, what do you have, 12-7 in the play-in game? Like, nah, man, he's not. LeBron gets to do that.
Yeah.
Steph Curry gets to do that. Anthony Edwards will get to do that. Like that. Jason Tatum gets to do that.
Whether we tried to do it your way or whatever, and it didn't work. That's why we're back to this point.
That's it. And maybe we're overreacting to this. Maybe Domas is like, you know what? I hope we practice more with Doug. I think we're going to need that. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think it's an overreaction to say, hey, if you're not bought in, then it's time to move on. Like the whole clarity thing was not something we made up or whatever.
Right. He said that. He said, Domantas Sabonis said that with the words out of his mouth. We're talking about he needs to have conversations about clarity, the direction of the franchise. And I already have my questions about where you can get with Domas as your first or second best player. And he has to be, given the money he's making. And the salary cap, he has to be that. I already have questions about that on the court. What Doug Christie does not need, what Scott Perry does not need, as they're trying to establish this culture and as they're trying to establish a new era of Sacramento Kings basketball, they don't need their starting $50 million center, $45 million center, walking into the building every day and whining about they don't practice enough. Or I don't like what we're doing offensively, or I don't like what we're doing defensively. They don't need that from Domantas Sabonis, Zach LaVine, Keegan Murray, or Malik Monk, or otherwise. That's what we're talking about with this season. Mean trading Domas this season. Maybe it means keeping Domas this offseason and going, look, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to effectively utilize you offensively. Here's how we're going to try and help you out defensively. And this is the way we're going to do this thing. And maybe he goes, great. Love it. Can't wait. And he's part of your program now.
Perfect.
But it's going to take that. You cannot go into the season with this guy like, we don't practice enough. Meh, I don't like how we were doing on offense. Yeah, that's not going to play.
Yeah, no, everyone needs to be bought in when they get to training camp, whenever they step foot in the gym, day one.
That's it, man.
And like I said, they talk to Domas and Domas is like, yeah, I'm with it. Like, I'm a Doug Christie guy. I'm with what we got. Perfect. Let's move. We're good. But if then it's time to move on.
And again, this isn't just Domas. If Domas goes, you know what? I'm pretty uneasy about this whole thing. I don't know if it's going to work out. Like, all right. Like, cool. Let's figure something else out then. But if they have that exact same conversation with Keon Ellis or Keegan Murray or Jonas Valanciunas or anybody else.
Whoever's not bought in.
Right. So that's what this offseason needs to be about. It's what the next season, two seasons need to be about. And to me, Doug Christie will be evaluated, or he should be evaluated. And I'm hoping for everything we've said about Vivek meddling and this and that, my hope is that, and I think he will, to be totally frank, my hope is that he gives this the runway it's going to require, because this is not going to be easy. There's I think very few scenarios where the Kings are a top three seed next year. And if the expectation from ownership is make the playoffs next year, I think they're handcuffing themselves. So I don't think that's necessarily going to be the edict. I believe Doug will need to be evaluated on play style, identity, how he handles egos, how he handles internal strife, how he handles a 5-game losing streak, how he handles a 5-game winning streak. Like, there's all these things over the course of this 82-game season that we're going to learn about Doug Christie, and the wins and losses are almost secondary for me at this point.
Did we learn anything this past year when he went 27-24? Like, did we learn anything about Doug? No.
I have a hard time evaluating him because they went 27-24, but I
with three different teams, maybe, in a sense.
Well, yeah, that's it. There's that whole thing. They went 7-1 out the gate, which means they were 20-23 the other 43 games. Like, that's kind of I think they were 9-18. I think I read against teams above 500. Like, there's question marks to be sure, but I thought he handled it about as well as you could, and I understand why they wanted to go with him. But you've gone with this coach. You need to commit to him now.
Yeah.
And if there are players internally who are like, nah, I'm not committing to that, they don't get to play for you anymore.
Yeah, like I said
earlier. At least they shouldn't.
Like I said earlier, Doug needs to be a 3-year guy for right now. Even last year doesn't need to count towards it or whatever. Like, Doug needs to be for 3 years, and he's got to see it through. And I think if we learned anything from Doug kind of last year too, was like, I think he can get the most out of his team. Like, last year was kind of ugly and it was just kind of wishy-washy. Nothing went right. They still ugly, fell into the play, and I'll say, but I feel like that kind of counts for something. Not much, but for something, I think. You good?
Sorry about that. I'm good.
All right, I thought we were going to lose you for your mic for a second too.
No, we're good. Doug winning, back on track. Oh, that's the other thing I learned last year about Doug is they had a couple of games where they came out flat late in the year, specifically that Wizards game.
Mm-hmm.
And there were multiple times where the wheels could have really come off during the season, and they still figured out a way to piece together some wins. Losing that Washington game and then coming back and finishing that road trip with a win in Cleveland and a win in Detroit was super impressive.
Confused the hell out of everyone too.
Yeah, so I get why they saw what they saw in Doug, and I get why Scott Perry knew what he wanted in a head coach and decided that Doug was that guy. I totally understand it. I'll say it again. My hope is that the expectation for Doug internally is not win more than 40 games next year, because they might not, depending on how this offseason goes.
Yeah, I don't.
I would rather them, maybe this is insane, I would rather the Kings next year, forget what they do this offseason, I would rather they go 35-47 and on a night-to-night basis, we're like, dang, you know what? Talent's not quite there yet. They're missing a couple pieces, but dude,
behind that, because you're building towards something rather than the 41-41 team where it's like, yeah, in 2 years, we're going to have to blow all this up.
Exactly.
Like, there's no future with that.
I would so much rather they go 35-47 and we on a night-to-night basis know, all right, they're going to try hard. They're going to play this style. They're going to play tenaciously defensively. And maybe they don't have the horses defensively yet, but man, they really, really try. I would so much rather that than, oh yeah, they went 42-40 and they were the 8 seed and they
got swept by the Thunder.
Right. I would so much rather, and I'm sorry, let me back that up. And we're still sitting there at 42-40 and they're the number 8 seed and we're still like, yeah, but you don't know what you're getting from this team on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
I would way rather them win fewer games and miss the playoffs, but we know what they're becoming, because that is a sign that what Doug Christie wants to do is working.
Well, that's also the right way to build a team, I feel. Like, everything we're saying is what you would normally do. Like, you do kind of restart with this roster, see what you can get. Not in the sense where just move off of everybody, but accumulate assets, bring in players who work here and are bought in, and then move from there.
Yeah.
Rather than, all right, Zach's here, DeMar's here, whatever. Let's try to get the most out of this. Maybe adding a guy there, point guard here, and we're trying to make the playoffs.
Jonathan in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320 asked, is Sam Amick reliable? About as reliable as it gets.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not questioning Sam Amick's reporting.
Yeah, simply put, yeah.
Sam knows what he's doing, man. So that's what this is about. And again, maybe Domas sits down with Doug and Scott Perry and they lay out what the team is going to look like and what their vision is for the next couple of years. And maybe Domas is like, awesome, I'm bought in, let's go. And you cook. But if he's not, or if anybody's not,
no worries.
Because
we'll just move on.
I almost feel like they're going to have to, I was watching the Pistons last night and I brought this up before.
You're a Pistons, by the way.
Big Pistons guy.
That might be your greatest take of all time.
Yeah. I'm done doing NBA predictions now, but hey, you know, what's funny about that? What? Is they won, what, 46 games, I think? 48? They won a lot of games.
Yeah.
My thing on the Pistons was they'd go over their 27.5 win total. Like, yeah, they'll win 30 games.
Easy.
That was the pick. No, but first of all, it sucks that that series ended on a play where Malik Beasley was going to have a wide open look for three in the win and fumbled it out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean,
that was brutal.
Shout out Gary Trent Jr. You're good now, pal. Someone else did it. Someone else did it. You're good.
Gary Trent was watching that game like, oh,
that hurt. We'll probably talk more about it coming up, but that one hurt my heart.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll
I was also hate watching a bit, but
we'll do that for sure. So I almost wonder if the Kings can like reverse engineer what the Pistons did.
Like, what do you mean?
Where the Pistons brought in Cade Cunningham. They drafted Cade Cunningham. They drafted Jaden Ivey, Kings legend Jaden Ivey. They drafted Jalen Duren. They have this core of players, right? That they homegrown talent was what I was looking for. So they brought in this homegrown talent. And they got that talent to a point and went, okay, now we're going to supplement them with Tim Hardaway Jr. And who's the other? Who?
Tobias Harris.
Thank you. We're going to supplement these guys. They brought in Dennis Schroeder at the trade deadline with veterans who can do some of the heavy lifting that we're not going to rely on young guys to do. And we're going to try and win some games this way. I almost wonder if the Kings can establish this identity that Doug Christie and Scott Perry want to establish. And then over the next couple of years, drop in young players into a veteran group that already has this established identity and bring those young players up that way, where they run into the same thing the Pistons have, where, cool, they have these young players who are ascending and now they're going to have to supplement them with veterans, but they do it the opposite direction.
That's definitely
where they have the veterans and drop the rookies in or the young players in as they go along.
Yeah, I'd have to see that's different. I don't know if that's the way to do it, but I'd have to see it, I guess. And I don't know how, like you said, it's just teams don't do it that way, so I don't know how much that would work.
I don't either.
That feels kind of two timelines-ish, no?
A little bit, but it wouldn't even necessarily be about, because the whole Warriors 2 timeline thing was, oh, we're going to compete for titles now, and then James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody are going to be awesome, and then they'll perfectly step in. I more think that this is more like establishing culture, figuring out what this team is going to be, and then start dropping young players into that. And I see people saying, those are all top five picks. What, are the Kings going to get the number one pick? Oh, maybe. But I think this is more about, okay, then you're going to have to scout. You're going to have to draft the right guys. You might have to make a savvy trade here and there, but you develop some players.
You have to run like a legit NBA franchise.
Yeah. That's unless we're going to tank all the way out, that's kind of the option.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how this goes. I'm optimistic about how things are going to go for the Kings in the Scott Perry and Doug Christie era. I'm also optimistic for the second hour of the show. We'll have some more Kings coming up. We got a ton of NBA playoff stuff to get to. The San Antonio Spurs have a new head coach. The end of an era in San Antonio. We'll talk about that. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. No James Hamm today. He's in the happiest place on earth. No Joe Brazil today. He's doing work for the other stations. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento's sports leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.